Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The wait is over. That's right. Season 5 of The Kardashians is here. Just when you thought life couldn't get any faster, they're punching it into overdrive. Kris, Kourtney, Kim, Khloe, Kendall, and Kylie are back and continue to defy expectations in all their endeavors. So, get ready to go behind the glitz and glamour of the most iconic family on television. The all-new season of The Kardashians premieres May 23rd, streaming on Hulu.
And away we go, hour number 3 of our radio program. That's right, it is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Antonio Daniels, and I'm not just saying this because he's joining us, he's one of the best basketball analysts in the country. Quite frankly, he should be in the booth with Mike Breen doing these games on ESPN. And he's kind enough to join us right now on the show as a recap the Celtics and the Pacers game, one of the Eastern Conference Finals from last night, and get you set for the Western Conference Final that does commence this evening. With the Dallas Mavericks, obviously, with Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic going up against the Minnesota Timberwolves. So the sensation that is Anthony Edwards. Antonio Daniels, my friend, how you been?
I'm blessed, Zach. How you doing, brother? Well, I appreciate your kind words, man.
Well, it's just true. Like, I don't know how much you want to talk about this, and I love Jeff Van Gundy and Mark Jackson when they were together. Nothing against, well, I have a little bit against J.J. Redick, but so I can't say nothing against J.J. Redick, and then you have Doris Burke. Breen's great. It just doesn't feel like a crew that should be calling the Eastern Conference Final. It just didn't have a big-time feel last night is what I thought.
Oh, well, for me, I think Doris Burke's great. I think J.J. Redick is great, and I have all the love in the world for Mike Breen. I don't have an issue with it. I know when you have when you're accustomed to a booth with Mark Jackson and Van Gundy and Mike Breen, and that's no longer there. It's hard to replace. You know, we keep hearing on TNT, this is the last year for Inside the NBA. You know, and if that's the case, can anything replace that? You know, it's very, very tough to replace something that you're accustomed to. And we were accustomed to hearing the booth with Breen and Van Gundy and Mark Jackson. But, I mean, you know, Doris Burke and J.J. Redick and Mike Breen, you know, I think it just, especially for Doris Burke and J.J. Redick, Mike Breen's a fixture.
Yeah.
It just takes time to develop that symmetry that those guys took time to develop that we got accustomed to.
Do you think, by the way, because we already saw Doc leave that booth, it kind of feels like J.J. Redick's going to be the next coach of the Lakers. Like, that's just how I feel what's going to play on out. Who do you think will be coaching the Lakers next year?
I don't know. I mean, for me, it comes down to what are the Lakers looking for? For me, what are they looking for? I honestly,
I don't think anyone has a damn clue.
But for me, Zach, and we've discussed this on our SiriusXM show, is it a good idea to hire a rookie head coach into a championship or bust scenario? Is that a good idea? Bringing Adrian Griffin into Milwaukee was unfair to Adrian Griffin, right? Bringing Darvin Ham into the Lakers was unfair to Darvin Ham, because no matter what the expectation is, they can't meet it. Because there's an amount of grace that's given to coaches with a championship resume. Example, Adrian Griffin won 70% of his games and got fired. But Doc Rivers comes in with the championship pedigree because he won a championship with the Celtics. Now is viewed different, even though he did not have the same success that Adrian Griffin experienced. It's just seen as different for whatever reason. I don't know what the Lakers are looking for. So the question I would ask you, Zach, is what is their identity? Offensive or defensive?
It's a great question. I think their identity is outside of the coaching search, whatever LeBron wants this offseason. Because I think LeBron's coming back. Davis is going to be there. They'll try to go get Donovan Mitchell. I don't think the Cavs are going to trade him to the Lakers, but I think that they're tied to LeBron still, as long as he still wants to be there. So whatever LeBron wants to do, but then it doesn't make sense why LeBron's not picking the coach, supposedly.
Okay, so if that's the case, right? If their identity is what LeBron wants their identity to be, then how can they make the correct hire? right? James Borrego, who was in New Orleans this past year, is a great offensive mind. A great offensive mind. Very knowledge. You saw what he did in Charlotte with his time in Charlotte, improving that team every year that he was there. Coming to New Orleans this year, being the associate head coach behind Willie Green. You see what he did with the offense this year. If you're not looking for an offensive coach and you're not looking for a defensive coach and you don't have an identity, what exactly are you looking for, or who, should I say, are you looking for to become the next leader of the Los Angeles Lakers? And difficult question.
The other thing that I'll say, and I know it can't with the CBA, and I'll get a bunch of people that will always tweet me this, it's almost like LeBron should just be the player coach and coach the team. I know it can't happen, but that's just the way that I kind of feel this should all play out.
Yeah, I mean, but that's the – you could say that for a lot of teams. You could say that for a lot of teams.
Suns, Durant.
You know, like, this is a star-driven league, and I don't mean this in disrespect to coaches, because I feel like a lot of coaches, regardless of the situation, they're swimming upstream, right? When Adrian Griffin got fired, for me, that's on Damian Lillard and that's on Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Agreed.
You know, when those guys get fired. When Darvin Ham gets fired, that's on LeBron James and that's on Anthony Davis. This is a player empowered league. Does Frank Vogel get fired if Devin Booker and Kevin Durant and Bradley Beal really want him there? Does that happen?
Absolutely.
Probably not. Right. So players have to have some accountability in this whole thing. But on the other side, how much do players actually want to be held accountable?
They don't. That's my question. And that's the biggest problem. It's like Kevin Durant, we know him and Booker are the reason why Vogel's no longer the coach. You know, even Darvin Ham with the Lakers, it's LeBron didn't want him anymore. Anthony Davis didn't want him anymore. And you never hear that side. It's like, I don't make the decision, when we know down deep, LeBron pretty much runs the Lakers and Kevin Durant runs the Suns.
Right. So for me, if I'm interviewing to be a coach, if I'm interviewing to be a head coach, I need to know that I have the backing of the front office, right? Organizational chemistry is so incredibly important.
Well, that's why you take a 5-year contract, Antonio.
For sure. 100%. But I also need to know that if my star player wants to challenge a call, and I don't agree with him, that I'm not going to get fired because I chose not to challenge. I need to know that the front office has my back, right? As a coach, I'm going to have the back of my players. But that doesn't mean I'm going to acquiesce to everything that the players want, because then I can't do my job to the best of my ability. My job is to coach. My job is to put you in a position to be successful. That doesn't mean that Frank Vogel, that doesn't mean that Darvin Ham, that doesn't mean that Adrian Griffin is going to do everything that appeases star players, though. And let's not confuse this here, Zach, because this is a star player conversation. Role players need not apply, right? We're not talking, like, if Malik Beasley goes to the front office and says, look, I don't want Adrian Griffin here. Like, yeah, that's not how it works. That's not how this whole thing works. So, Jared Vanderbilt, if he goes and says, I don't want Darvin Ham, that's not how this whole thing works. These are star player conversations we're having.
Well, I'll tell you who the perfect coach would have been. And it was funny because this was the one pushback they kind of gave a LeBron guy. It would have been Ty Lue. And it all goes back to that contract a few years ago. I think they only wanted to give him a 3-year deal and he wanted a 4-year deal.
See?
He would still be the coach there if that was the case.
No question. And for me, that's a different case, because there's a difference between organizational chemistry and organizational arrogance. Right. And I think what the Lakers practiced there was organizational arrogance, almost saying, like, you know, you're better. We don't need you if we don't need you. Like, no, yes, you do. Because Ty Lue is that good of a coach. And what you chose to do was not give him what he deserved. It's almost like free agent situations with players, you know, with Dallas, what they did with Jalen Brunson. Right. Now he leaves. He goes somewhere else and he blows up, knowing that he was the perfect fit right in there with Luka in the first place. So now you spent the last 2 years trying to replace Jalen Brunson with Kyrie Irving. There's a difference to me between organizational arrogance and organizational chemistry. And I felt that the Lakers have an organizational arrogance that's tough for any coach to come in and meet or exceed the expectation that is there.
Talking to Antonio Daniels, let's get to the game last night. I was disappointed in the fourth quarter because I thought Indiana just gagged away that game. And I know Tatum had a great overtime, and they'll get to the finals. The Celtics, they will definitely be in the finals. He's going to have to play a lot better than what he did. I know he redeemed himself in overtime, but he's going to have to play a lot better in the fourth quarter if that's a team that wants to beat whoever comes out of the Western Conference in a few weeks.
Yeah, it's tough, man. It's watching that game yesterday, it felt like Boston was going to pull away. And then Indiana does what Indiana does. They show grit, they show fight, and they work themselves back in the game. And they did everything they possibly could to get that game away, Zach. Everything that they possibly could to give that game away. They gave Jason Tatum an opportunity to redeem himself. Because like you said, in the fourth quarter, he wasn't there. Without that overtime period, we are having a completely different conversation today about the Boston Celtics. But there are a couple things that continue to happen. My thought, first thought, was Rick Carlisle has been put in this position a couple times in the postseason. Right, up three with you can do the clock. 15 seconds left, 18 seconds left, 20 seconds left. And certain coaches stand by this. Certain coaches will say, look, we're going to go ahead and play this out. We're going to play it out. Other coaches will say, we are going to foul. And it's come back to bite the Indiana Pacers a couple times this postseason already in choosing not to foul as opposed to allowing it to play itself out. And again, last night, obviously, along with a couple of inexperienced turnovers, that proved to be the difference in game one. And I tell you what, Zach, it is so hard. Like, it's amazing to me how much one game can make, how much of a difference one game can make. Because I feel like this is going to be very, very difficult for Indiana to recover from.
Absolutely.
Imagine the conversation we're having today if Indiana leads that series 1-0, as opposed to being down 1-0 the way they are.
So when Carlisle talks to the media last night, because I think he said he instructed Siakam to foul or the team to foul, but then because of the positioning, Siakam, he thought, then elected not to do so. Do you believe with what you were just saying, Carlisle actually saying he told his guys to foul?
Yes, because Carlisle's not the type to throw his guys under the bus. That's not his nature. That's not what Rick Carlisle does. If he comes on a post-game presser and says, you know what, I told guys to foul, but because of the positioning when Jaylen Brown caught that ball, Pascal Siakam didn't think that he could actually foul, then Rick Carlisle told his guys to foul. He did. I don't have a problem with that. We've seen Rick Carlisle not throw his guys under the bus, but publicly challenge his guys.
Sure.
Challenge his guys. And there's a difference between challenging guys and calling out guys publicly. Rick Carlisle does a fantastic job at challenging his guys. When you looked at game six against the New York Knicks, when he was asked what they needed to do to win, he said, you know what? We have to play harder like the Knicks are doing, and we have to rebound the basketball. That's a way of not calling your team out, but publicly challenging your guys to play harder and be better. And they responded in game six and also in game seven. So if Rick Carlisle told his guys to foul, I believe that he told his guys to foul because that's not in his nature.
What do you think happens in game two? Because you were kind of alluding to it. I kind of think, and the Celtics have struggled in the postseason in game twos. They're 0-2 so far. I think since they got away with one last night, you're going to see a different Celtics team in game two, and they'll go back to Indiana up 2-0.
I agree. But I tell you what, man, there is something that's not there with Boston right now. And it's not – I've been saying this all playoffs. You can look at the fact that they ran through the Miami Heat first round, right? They ran through the Cleveland Cavaliers second round. And yesterday they had a rough game one and still found a way to win. There is something to be said about this team execution-wise, that's missing. There's a lot of individual. There's a lot of one-on-one. You know, let's go one-on-one. It's a your turn, my turn scenario between Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. And that gets them into trouble. Their offense looks so difficult sometimes. I do agree with you, though. I think when you look at the way that game one went down, I have a hard time seeing Indiana respond and think that they can play any better than what they did last night in Boston and then win game two. I'm with you. I think it's 2-0 going back to Indiana.
Antonio Daniels did a great job, SiriusXM NBA Radio. So take the teammates out of this, just dynamic duos. You have Tatum and Brown. You have Halliburton and Siakam. You have Luka and Kyrie. And you have Anthony Edwards and Karl-Anthony Towns. Who's the best remaining dynamic duo in the NBA playoffs?
Ooh. I know who it's between for me. It's between the two out of the Western Conference for me. I felt like Luka and Kyrie were the most dangerous coming in. Like, I felt like Dallas was the most dangerous team coming into the playoffs, especially in the West. Anthony Edwards has obviously taken another step. And, Carl, you know, for me, okay, I'll say this. Out of all of them, I'm going with Kyrie and Luka.
I agree.
I'm going with Kyrie and Luka.
Because here's the thing. Luka, I think, is the best player pound for pound remaining in the postseason. So when you do it with the ones, that's how I go there. And then for the twos, Kyrie, the problem is, will he just be locked in? And he's locked in now. So he's a top 10 player when he's locked in.
Yeah, that's a toughie.
Because he's got to remain locked in for 3-4 more weeks.
No, for me, it's not generally about Kyrie.
Mm-hmm.
Because I agree with you to a certain – here's the question I would ask you, Zach. You said Luka's the best player. Has Luka been the best player this postseason?
No, it's been Anthony Edwards.
Right. And that's it. Now, we're not talking about going all the way back to the second week of October in training camp. Because all that really matters is from the second week of the playoffs on. It's the second week of the season, the postseason on. You know, that's really all that matters. You know, it's
Because
that is a great question.
Because here's why. Like, no offense to Halliburton and Siakam, they're fourth. You could tell me, out of the other three, you could order them any way you want, 1, 2, and 3, and I'm not going to argue it. I put, yesterday when we did this question, Luka and Kyrie 1, and then I went Kat and Edwards 2,
that's what,
and
I
then
would
I put Tatum
too.
And Brown 3.
Agreed. Because for me, it's the second week. Man.
We stumped you. It seems like you want to say Minnesota.
No, but for me, it's the second week of April on when you start looking at it. Because, and realistically speaking, Luka has not been that great in the postseason. He hasn't been that great in the postseason. He's had some good games here and there. He's been kind of up and down. When he leaves the officials alone, completely different basketball player. But in the postseason that starts the second week of April up to now, the best player has been Anthony Edwards. It has been Anthony Edwards. I know for me, I have a different love for Kyrie Irving's game. He's one of the only guys in this league that if I wasn't blessed to do what I do now, that I would actually pay my hard-earned money to watch play. And him and Luka have figured some things out. You know, last year when Kyrie got traded there in February, it was a struggle to the point where people were questioning, oh, you know what, this can't work and all these other kind of things. Then they signed him, re-signed him in the summer. Contracts bring confidence. Now you have Kyrie Irving coming back into a situation with Luka. They done figured some things out. You know, whether they're on the floor together or staggered, they figured something out. I'm still going to go with those two. I think that's the most skilled backcourt in history. I'm comfortable saying that. If I can say on one hand that's the most skilled backcourt in history, I can definitely say they're first on that list 1 through 4.
Antonio Daniels, last thing I'll ask you. You know, obviously you're very optimistic about the Mavs. I can't crush you for that whatsoever. But when you look at this series, Mavs and Timberwolves, and the way that you've been hyping it up, who are you going with?
I'm going Minnesota. So I'm not as optimistic as you think. I'm optimistic on those two, that on that backcourt. But when I look at the way that the Minnesota Timberwolves are built, not just the size across the front line, the thing I feel like is so underrated about the Minnesota Timberwolves, a lot of credit goes to Rudy Gobert for being defensive player of the year and being the anchor of the number one defensive rated team. But the fact of the matter is, and we saw this when Rudy Gobert was absent from the birth of his child, they have excellent point of attack perimeter defenders.
Naz Reid's great.
Well, Anthony Edwards, it's a great defender.
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. right? Nickeil Alexander-Walker is a great defender. Jaden McDaniels is a great defender. When you have excellent point of attack perimeter defenders, and again, I don't mean to discredit Rudy Gobert, it makes his job a little bit easier. If you have guys that are quote-unquote traffic cones on the perimeter, it makes your job a lot tougher because now you constantly have to rim protect. Rudy Gobert doesn't have to rim protect like that, like he has in years past, because of the guys that he has on the perimeter. That was the difference. Jamal Murray struggled, right? Jamal Murray struggled against this Minnesota Timberwolves team. Why? Because they have excellent point of attack defenders. They're long, they're lengthy, they're athletic, and they have excellent defensive IQs. Kevin Durant and Devin Booker and Bradley Beal, they struggled against this Minnesota Timberwolves team. It wasn't because of Rudy Gobert. It's because they have excellent point of attack perimeter defenders. And now we're going on to Kyrie Irving and Luka. I'm interested to see the way this game is, this series is officiated, but I am going with the Minnesota Timberwolves for that reason. We can look at their Rudy Gobert Defensive Player of the Year, but for me, it's about their point of attack perimeter defense that sets him apart, along with Rudy Gobert anchoring it.
He is the sensational Antonio Daniels. Make sure you listen to him weekdays on SiriusXM NBA Radio. Thanks so much, my friend. Always great to talk to you.
For sure, Zach. Appreciate you, brother.
You got it. There he is, Antonio Daniels. I could listen to him talk basketball all day, but if we kept on going, I think my bosses would have said, wow, you're way, 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 way late for a break. So we don't need to upset the bosses. We'll come on back.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Yo, yo. Zach Gelb Show right here. Infinity Sports Network. Getting set. Hoops tonight. We also, obviously, got pucks as well. I'll be at the Rangers and Florida Panthers game at the world's most famous arena, Madison Square Garden. And we also have the Western Conference Final getting underway as well. Manny Rodriguez is going to give us a sports update in a bit. My condolences, my dear friend, about your New York Knicks.
Yeah, it still hurts. Wound is still fresh.
Yeah, but like,
I've got no
thing.
Reason to live. Give me a reason to live.
I'll give you a reason to live. Step back from that ledge, my friend. I don't have the guitar in hand to start to serenade you, but I know you don't want to hear this. Because of the fact, I would respond the same way that if someone told me this, I'd still rather lose in the next round. Jalen Brunson's not playing in that series with that fractured hand. Bogdanovich already out. Randall already out. Mitch Robinson already out. OG. Hardenstein with the shoulder. Yeah. OG Anunoby looked like he was holding a number two when they when they ran him on the court in that game seven. Yeah. You would have got annihilated by Boston.
Yeah, I understand. I know that they would have been annihilated by Boston. Probably would have been swept by Boston considering all the injuries that were there. Five games. If the Knicks were healthy, but again, if big old if.
Yeah.
You know, they probably would have taken the Celtics to seven. I thought that the Knicks' ceiling would be the Eastern Conference Final. I thought that.
Oh, that's fair. After realistic.
I thought, after the team went 14-2 in the month of January, I figured to myself, oh, wow, this team actually has a legitimate chance to go to the Eastern Conference Finals. Unfortunately, they came up short of that. They came up a win short of that. But you know what? I just can't get it out of my head that the Knicks ended up in the same position as they were last year. Eastern Conference semifinals out. All they did was just play one more game on the season.
Yeah,
more
but
or
this
less.
Was a better season this year than the year before.
Yeah, and that's why they should have made the Eastern Conference Finals. This is a better team than it was last year, but you know what? Injuries.
But you have hope and optimism and consistency, which you have never had in your lifetime. And you are one player away from being a title contender. A star player.
I wouldn't hate running it back with this team, though.
Milwaukee's going to be better next year if they're healthy.
Yeah, you see.
Miami, if they're healthy. If they have Jimmy Butler, which I don't know if they will. They may trade him. You would think they would be better. You still need another star. I know that, right? The grittiness of this team is fun, and Knicks fans are a little delirious over it. It's a very good team. I'm not taking anything away from what they accomplished. You need another star.
But, I mean,
you could argue Julius Randle.
That's what I'm saying. 25-10 every night.
I think Julius Randle even expects that he's going to get traded this offseason.
I think so, too. I mean, given what the Knicks have in regards to first-round draft picks and you know, contracts that are tradable, from Bojan Bogdanovic's contract, Deuce McBride's contract is very tradable as well. I mean, yeah, you're gonna have to take some to give some, right? Or
who's the player? Who's the player you want?
I mean,
Say you could get realistically someone via trade, who is that player?
Right now, question because I would like
you want me to give you the options?
I would like Giannis Antetokounmpo. Yeah, however, okay.
And I want to go sleep with Margot Robbie.
You told me anybody.
No. I said realistically. Anybody realistically. You saying Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Well, Giannis isn't happy in Milwaukee. You know that.
Stop. He just signed an extension.
Yeah.
Do you want to give Bart Winkler, who does the evening show here, a heart attack right now? You will be Bart's least favorite person if you start suggesting Giannis. Realistic options. Here we go. Donovan Mitchell.
Mm. We already have a ball dominant guard. Continue.
Devin Booker.
Yeah, that was my answer about 6 months ago, but I don't know now.
Why not now?
Because, again,
another shooter.
He needs the ball in his hand constantly, as is Jalen Brunson. I mean, that was the name that I've been floating around since basically last offseason. Obviously, I didn't have the platform that I
Paul
do now,
George?
But I'm good.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I'm good. I mean, really, it was Devin Booker. Had you asked me this question 6 months ago, I would have said Devin Booker hands down. But, I mean, you take a look at what has developed in regards to Jalen Brunson becoming a 1A, Becky Hammond. Dante DiVincenzo playing well and with a great contract as well.
Now, you know,
he's
in the
really
NBA now, you could have multiple good guards. You know that, right?
Well,
why not? You go get Devin Booker, and you have a backcourt of Booker, DiVincenzo, and Brunson.
I mean,
you create depth, too, if someone gets hurt.
Yeah, but what happens down low? What happens down low? That's my main concern in regards to that. What happens down low? Who's getting the rebounds, offensive chances, aside from Isaiah Hartenstein? You might have to trade away Mitchell Robinson as well if you want to.
Oh, he gets injured every year.
Well, but you know what? It's still a pretty tradable contract, and he becomes expendable with the explosion of Isaiah Hartenstein. Now, of course, the Knicks will have to re-sign.
You love saying
Isaiah
Hartenstein by Hartenstein.
That's how you pronounce it. I don't know. What do you want me to tell you?
I don't know. You just have a good enunciation with it. Or pronunciation.
They're going to have to re-sign Hartenstein. I fell in love with him last season, even though he played 30, 40-something games.
He's a free agent
season.
Right this year?
Yes, that's correct.
He's probably going to get priced out of you.
Yeah, that's the issue. I mean, the Knicks can only offer, I think, maybe $15 million. But, I mean, if a team comes up and offers him $18 per year, why wouldn't I take
that?
Okay,
here's the white whale name.
Oh, boy.
Here's the name that I think will throw you into a mental hula hoop, kind of mental pretzel. I think that's the expression. Kevin Durant.
Nah, man.
How do you like them apples? Why not?
Because,
Katie,
man.
Don't you regret not coming to the Knicks?
I'm sure he does now, but you know what? I don't think the Knicks want Kevin Durant now.
I know the name that you want.
What's the name that I want?
Mikal Bridges. Go Nova Knicks.
I mean, he'd be great for the team in a role player type of position,
he's
but
not
I don't.
A role player.
I don't. In regards,
oh
in regards to
God.
What everything else is around with the Knicks, I don't think
you
he would,
are delirious.
I don't think he would make much of a dent.
What are you talking about? Now hold on.
Leaves me unimpressed. He's okay.
This is
listen,
where you're gonna get screwed. You're gonna hate this because now I'm gonna start to sound like Draymond. You guys had a very good season. You guys are a very good team. You still need one. Star.
No, and I understand. Mikal Bridges is not a star, dude.
But he would be your second best player. He'd be if Randall's not on that team, he's your second best player.
Well, if Randall's not on
well,
the team
but to get
with
Bridges,
Mikal,
you're not having Randall. And look and think about it from a chemistry standpoint, you basically put Nova back on the court. You may as well. Well, I don't. Tom Thibodeau deserves to keep his job.
What's Mikal Bridges' contract?
I don't know that.
It's like two more years, and he's getting paid like $25 million. It's like a steal.
That's a pretty good contract. Mikal Bridges, good player.
Doesn't really move the meat.
See,
this is
what you realize, world listening. The Knick fan now, after being in the gutter, in the basement, in the dumpster for all those years, they now think they're above adding other quality players.
No, I don't think they're above it.
You're out
just
on
think...
Devin Booker. You just said it. You were in and now you're out. How are you out on Devin Booker?
I wouldn't be upset if they traded for Devin Booker. However, I just think maybe it would become too much of a guard situation. Too many ball dominant dudes trying to put the ball in the basket. Take a look at the Cleveland Cavaliers with Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland, two ball dominant guards. Yeah, the Cavs are a perennial playoff team, but what do they do after that?
No, the Cavs aren't at the same level as the.
But
the
we're
Knicks.
Still talking about two ball dominant guards. Same type of play style.
But you could win. You could still win that way. And also, you know, Jalen Brunson sacrifices. He'll do whatever is in the best interest of the team. And Devin Booker is a better shooter than Jalen Brunson, shooting-wise. Not just from a shooting perspective. He's a better shooter.
So what, Jalen Brunson, Dante DiVincenzo, Devin Booker? Who are you going to have at the four if Julius Randle isn't going to be around?
Okay. Anyway.
You see what you did to my brain?
No, you did it to yourself.
Paul George. Paul George fits everything.
So, Botcher, you want Paul George.
Well, I'm not even a Knicks fan.
Okay. He's also not.
I'm just, as a Nets fan, they need Paul George.
That's good objective voice.
He's size, catch and shoot, defense, when healthy.
When healthy.
Well, he was pretty healthy this year.
Yeah.
It could have been a lot worse. He fits what they need, and he's an upgrade over Randle 100% in the playoffs.
Paul George lately has become a better postseason player. There was a while where there may have been a talk show host here on the network that called him Playoff Pinocchio. I forget who that was. I think his name is Atch Felb or something like that, right? Something like that. I can't remember.
I heard that guy's a hack.
I heard he's a loser. Hot take artist, dope loser, moron. Alrighty, so I'll ask you this.
Okay.
Did you watch the Celtics game last night?
I was watching more of the Yankee game last night, but I did tune. I was flipping channels, okay. Yes.
Celtics are going to win that series. We know that.
Yeah.
How many games are they going to win that series in? Because they... The Pacers fumbled the bag, as the kids like to say.
They did. They did, in fact, fumble it. But you know what?
It's going five.
Yeah. Gentlemen sweep. I still think it's going to be Celtics in five.
And how about the other series?
Oh, God. Please give me seven games of that. I would love seven games of that.
Okay, but who do you think's going to win? Timberwolves and Mavs. Everyone wants seven games of this.
I will go ahead. I think the T-Wolves' lack of experience will eventually catch up to them. And I think Kyrie and Luka will be able to propel the Mavs into the
but here's,
NBA Finals.
Here's the thing.
And let me tell you something.
Experience-wise.
Kyrie against Boston? That'd be nice.
What experience? Like, Luka Doncic has that much more experience?
Well, but, I mean, he's got Kyrie Irving.
Because he went to a conference final with Brunson? Is that what you're saying?
And, I mean, I do believe he also won a title in 2018 when Kyrie was second fiddle to some guy named LeBron James.
Oh, well, no, Kyrie does. But yeah. Kyrie, it's always just been mental when he actually wants to be on the court. We know he's one of the best players in the league. I think, hey, the Mavs, I said going into the playoffs, they have a great dynamic duo. Mm-hmm. And they have a chance to go on a run.
They've really started to gel in the back half of the season, too.
I think the want-to from the Timberwolves is more there. And I think their defense is what's going to separate them from the Mavericks.
They're so good on defense.
Rudy Gobert didn't play game two. They had one of the best defensive performances I've ever seen up against the Nuggets. So I'm going to go, especially with Edwards not playing great offensively in game seven and they still won, I just think they're the better team. So I'm going to go with the better team here. I'm going to take Minnesota in six games. Alrighty.
Six?
Yeah, in six.
Oh, okay.
Six.
Can't choose seven.
I can't choose seven. It's a show rule now.
Oh, really?
One listener is very annoyed anytime we pick a series in seven games. I think it's a cop-out.
Well, the Celtic. Okay.
So we can't.
I digress.
I'm taking Rangers in seven, by the way, in hockey. So.
Oh, so I can't go Rangers in seven?
I'm just saying. That's just what I'm doing. Some people think it's a cop-out. Botcher, why are you throwing your thumb down?
Because it's funny. You can't go seven now, and you're going seven.
Come on, come on. So it's usually checks and balances here. Sometimes it's a dictatorship. That was one of those moments. And I'll take the Stars. Stars in six over the Oilers.
I mean, yeah. I mean,
they're a more well-rounded team. I know that you have McDavid and Leon Draisaitl.
Some stars on that Oilers team.
Yeah, well, I said that to Johnny Lazarus, who's in here. He's like, oh, that's confusing when they go up against the Stars. I was like, hey, you know, I think a lot of people pick the Oilers because they have the Stars. And he's like, wait, they're going up against the Stars. I'm like, oh, that was all messed up. All right, anyway, we will come on back with some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. We call that the News Brief update time first. Here is the still tortured.
Yeah.
Your mustache, by the way, is getting long.
Should I do something?
No,
I actually have
I think you can curl it up.
Yeah.
You're close to curling it up territory.
That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get the Raleigh fingers going. I got to find some oil. Got to find some beard oils
that.
And stuff like that. So, yeah, that's definitely something that I'm trying to do.
I think you would rise through the company.
Oh, really?
Very, like when Boyle started to put the blonde patch in his head, started to get him more shifts. I think if you curl up that mustache, people want to hear more of you.
It'll be handlebars, and then hopefully by, December, I'll have enough that I'll look like Raleigh fingers back in his prime.
All right, here he is, Manny Rodriguez.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date.
Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The wait is over. That's right. Season 5 of The Kardashians is here. Just when you thought life couldn't get any faster, they're punching it into overdrive. Kris, Kourtney, Kim, Khloe, Kendall, and Kylie are back and continue to defy expectations in all their endeavors. So, get ready to go behind the glitz and glamour of the most iconic family on television. The all-new season of The Kardashians premieres May 23rd, streaming on Hulu.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
It's time to answer our Ask the Pros question of the day. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Adam in Des Moines, Iowa says, Zach, who do you like tonight in the Mavericks-Timberwolves game? You can submit a question by tweeting at INFSportsNet or at Zach Gelb using the hashtag AskThePros. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. I like the Timberwolves tonight. I think Timberwolves win the series in 6. I like the Timberwolves tonight. Spread's 4.5. I'd lay the 4.5 with the Minnesota Timberwolves. Let's go to Rick Carlisle. If there was instruction to foul before Jaylen Brown hit that miraculous three-pointer in the final 10 seconds of regulation last season.
Yes, but he caught the ball and he was face up, so Pascal decided to lay off, which was, you know, I understand, you know, that's probably the right decision. You don't want to give up a four-point play. So, you know, look, a lot of things had to go wrong for us and right for them. They did. And so, you know, we got to own it and we got to get ready for Thursday.
And then Rick Carlisle continues to talk about why they lost, and he didn't bitch and complain about the officiating this time. He said, this loss is on me.
This loss is totally on me. With 10 seconds in regulation, we should have just taken the timeout, advanced the ball, and found a way to get it in and made a free throw or two and ended the game. But it didn't happen, and we made some other mistakes, but our guys just need to concentrate on fighting the way they fought in this game from start to finish, and we'll be back Thursday.
I don't know about you guys. I asked Botcher and Stu. He sounds defeated. And I get that's a demoralizing loss. You had the game won in regulation, and you couldn't get the ball in bounds, and then you allow a three, and you couldn't make a shot on the other end. He seems like he's just absolutely demoralized and defeated after that game. Like, that does not... And I like Rick Carlisle for the most part. That does not speak like a coach who's right now very confident that his team's going to find a way to come on back in this series. And it's only one game.
He knows it's a missed opportunity. Mm-hmm. The way Tatum played that game, he's probably not going to play that way again. And at Boston, yeah, it's tough. They probably needed to win that game.
They had to.
To be fair, he does sound tired 95% of the time.
That's a good point.
He always sounds like he's running a marathon after every game.
Huffing and puffing. You know, I bet you Shep would beat him in a marathon time. I'll tell you that.
And then host.
Yes. No, he produced that day.
Ah.
He produced Eye on Football. I was hosting.
Close.
I was like, ugh, Shep stinks. And he's like, you know, I ran the New York City Marathon. I was like, wait, what? And then you ran to the show? And he goes, yeah, I beat Tiki Barber. So I'm like, oh, that's pretty badass, Shep. Good for you. Let's hear from Tyrese Haliburton. I wonder if he went to two tones here with the voice. He still believes it will be a long series.
We know we can play with these guys. I mean, that's for y'all to say that we don't, you know, there's a lot of people out here saying we don't belong here. We don't really care. We know we belong. I think it's discouraging just because of the plays that happened, you know, down the stretch. We feel like we were in position to win the game and just didn't win the game.
You can't drop that game. You got to steal one of the first two. I got to think the Celtics would be a lot better in game two, and that was the game to win. And you failed to do so. I think this series is going to be over rather quickly. Once again, I've been saying Celtics in 5. So let's hear from Jaylen Brown. What was different from regulation to overtime where you saw the Celtics just be the better team?
What was the difference in overtime?
I think we just made some momentum plays. JT finally woke up.
make some baskets, and we was able to make some plays towards the end. But we got to be better, to be honest. But I'll take the win tonight.
I love that. JT woke up, and he's right, because he did not have a good game in the first four quarters and then stood up and had a big performance in overtime, getting 10 points, and saved him from a lot of criticism. They lose that game in regulation. Everyone is slamming. Every show across the country today is slamming Jason Tatum. He's got to be better if they want to win the NBA Finals. So a lot of people were annoyed with ESPN's coverage of Game 7 of Knicks and Pacers because they felt like it was too pro-New York. Tim Legler, who works for ESPN, was on the Ryan Russillo show, and he discussed this issue with ESPN's NBA coverage, and he wanted to talk more about the Pacers throughout the year.
And I wish I had video of all the meetings I've been in this year at ESPN when I wanted to talk more about the Indiana Pacers, particularly after they got Siakam. And it's just not sexy enough, you know? And so it's like, we kind of didn't talk about it. And I'm going, man, I watch this team every night. And I'm going, gosh, that's fun. Number one, fun style to play in. I envy these guys for being able to play in a system like this. But just how hard it is to guard, how hard it is to prepare when they have this many guys that can make shots and they don't waste one dribble. There's not one wasted dribble on the part of the Indiana Pacers over half court.
I could hear and listen to Legs talk about basketball all day. Tim Legler, I love him. I just hope when you're critical of the network you work on, the next time your contract's up, they don't hold that against you. That's the only thing I fear, because I would be very disappointed if ESPN ever got rid of Tim Legler. Let's go to Aaron Rodgers and the pressure to win this season.
If I don't do what I know I'm capable of doing, we're all probably going to be out of here. So I like that kind of pressure, though. I know there's, you know, it's a tough market to play in. It's not for everybody. I relish that opportunity. As you get older in the league, if you don't perform, they're going to get rid of you or bring in the next guy to take over. I mean, it happened in Green Bay. So, and I'm, you know, a few years older than I was back then. So I expect to play at a high level. I expect us to be productive and competitive and all that stuff to take care of itself.
He's towards the end of his career. I think it's a him decision, though. Like, the Jets are all in on Aaron Rodgers. It's when do you want to leave? I think he's on the other hole 17, or he's teeing off on 18. Talking about golf, let me just play you this. This is Rory McIlroy after he won a tournament. He was on CBS, and he had a heartfelt message to his mother. Just listen.
You're wearing your Mother's Day pink. You had some beautiful words that you shared with us yesterday about your mom. Your dad is a beloved figure in the golf world, and you said your mom doesn't get enough credit. So now's the time to brag about her, the impact that she's made on your career.
Yeah, my mom's amazing. You know, I think most people know my dad, but my mom Rosie is like the sort of rock or the gel that holds our family together. She always has been, and I said this last night, I'm probably a lot more like my dad than I am my mom, but I wish I was a little more like my mom at times. So if you're watching, Mom, happy Mother's Day. Can't wait to see you tomorrow. And I'm excited to get home and see them.
So people may be saying, Zach, why are you playing audio for May 12th? Well, there's a big rumor in the golf world right now, and the New York Post has this story today. The lady who was doing the interview is Amanda Baleonis. She was Amanda Baleonis, then she was Amanda Renner, I think. And then I guess she's no longer married to her ex-husband, who's a former football player. And Rory McIlroy just got divorced. And there's a big rumor that, according to the New York Post, there's romance between the two of them. And it's been the talk of the golf community. And you go back, and it's like you hear Amanda doing this interview, and it's not really much you could draw, but then you see her looking at Rory, and Rory's talking about how he needs to be more like his mom. I'm just saying, I wonder if there's anything going on between those two. And that creates a little bit of an issue because she's covering golf. You know, Jenny Dell, who I love, she was covering the Red Sox, and she ended up dating Will Middlebrooks, and she had to give up her job. She was eventually forced out. Now, they ended up getting married. But Rory, freshly off his divorce, I guess, I don't know when Amanda got divorced, but she's back to using her name, Amanda Baleonis. And now there's rumors, according to the New York Post, that the two of them may be getting it on. And it's been the talk of the links. All right, that will do it today for the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Big thanks to Mac Brown. Big thanks to Johnny Lazarus, Bart Winkler, Antonio Daniels, each and every one of you. Thank you for listening. Big thanks to Botcher and Stu. We'll talk mañana, everybody, at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. We out. Bye-bye. Go Rangers. Peace.
The wait is over. That's right. Season 5 of The Kardashians is here. Just when you thought life couldn't get any faster, they're punching it into overdrive. Kris, Kourtney, Kim, Khloe, Kendall, and Kylie are back and continue to defy expectations in all their endeavors. So, get ready to go behind the glitz and glamour of the most iconic family on television. The all-new season of The Kardashians premieres May 23rd, streaming on Hulu.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.